Well, it's good to see everybody this morning. It's exciting to be with you. I want to welcome everyone that's with us online this morning. It's a special day here at North Elevation Church. For the first time in this building, Pastor Dan Boone is with us today. In this season, actually, the month of June, I was introduced through a mutual friend to what we called back then, or they called back then, Crazy Dan. And we neither one were in what is considered full-time vocational ministry at that time when we met. So this marks our 35th year that we've been doing life together. Amen. And Dan is one of our overseers, also sits on our economic board. He is also many years young, I will say. We met, and Dan has planted another church called Church of Tomorrow in Oklahoma City. So would you welcome this morning Pastor Dan Boone of Church of Tomorrow from Oklahoma City.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So good to be here. Yeah, this is my first time in the new building. I got the 75-cent tour last night. But I only paid him 25 cents, you know. I leave 50 cents there on the account. But really, this is fabulous, this new building and everything. Golly, I see a lot of new faces, and I see a lot of people that I've known for years, and I praise God for that. It's really good to be here and to be able to know that we're not limited to the time in the movie theater. So, you know, I guess probably 3 hour minimum probably. That we go today so that you make sure we get everything you need to get, right? Amen. Come on now. You don't have to. Those of you that don't know me very well, every once in a while I throw a little joke out there, so you don't have to get too nervous about it. I haven't gone 3 hours since, I think, last week. No, I'm not really sure about that. But praise God. I enjoy the opportunity to be with you. And a lot of you know that I was married 51 years. My wife, Teresa, she went to join Jesus last year. And it's been a different road for me. The joy of the Lord turns your sadness into joy. And she is kicking it up right now. And I praise God. You know, doing funerals over the years, it's always great when you know the person who has passed on has gone to the right place and is with the Lord. There's nothing like that. And my wife was a steadfast person. She always said, you know, well, between Teresa and the Holy Spirit, they keep me in line. And I wouldn't lie when I told her that, to people. So she would say hi this morning. She loves you. She loves North Elevation Church. She really believes y'all are special. And I would say she would miss being here, but that wouldn't be correct. Praise God. The thing we're going to talk about this morning, I can't do it. And you say, well, that's not a very positive confession. Well, praise God anyway. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you are here in a special, significant way this morning. In each person here, you have a special, significant purpose in their lives today. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to teach, to preach, to do whatever you want to do with your word this morning, but most of all, make it alive in each person's heart so each one individually knows what you want today and receives from you the grace to operate in it. And in the name of Jesus, everybody said, amen, amen. Praise God. There's a couple of things that we need to look at in kind of getting started this morning. First of all, how many of y'all ever have heard of the Old Testament? Okay, seven or eight of you anyway. How about the Ten Commandments? Don't you just love those? You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that, you got to do this, you got to do that. And how many of you know that the Israelites had a little problem with the Ten Commandments? Like a couple of hours and it was gone out the window. Why? Well, when Moses said, can you do this? They said, yeah, we can do it. Guess what? They couldn't do it. The Old Testament was not to bring forth righteousness. The Old Testament was a tutor to Jesus. And the whole intention of the whole Old Testament is examples for us so that we can live the life that Jesus wants for us. And a tutor in the Greek and Roman days was not a teacher. He wasn't the extra teacher for the one that wasn't getting the grades made. The tutor back then was actually the person that came to the house of the family that had the kids that were going to be taught. And they would pick the kids up. Actually, not pick them up. They didn't have cars back then, I don't think, did they, Colin? Okay. They would take them to the teacher. Okay, they would walk with them to wherever the teacher's place was, and then they would bring them back home today. So they weren't actually teaching. What they were doing was taking them to the teacher. Okay? And I love it when I'm doing a pastor conference of some kind, and I look at all the pastors and I say, "You guys aren't pastors. You ladies aren't pastors. You're sheepdogs. You take them to the real shepherd." And they kind of go, "Oh." But that's a good thing. I don't mind being called a sheepdog because that's my old intention. I can't heal anybody, anything, deliver anybody, anything. All I can do is be the sheepdog to take them to the one who will. Praise God. Well, since the Old Testament said that the law didn't work, they couldn't do it, then we have things in the New Testament we need to look at. 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." I'm going to get these creases out of my paper here. They're going the wrong way. Just like the devil. Verse 17, "So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." And that what's translated in the NIV I'm reading from, "thoroughly equipped," in several translations is translated as "perfect." Some others say "adequate" or "complete." So the idea is that the scripture of God will teach us, rebuke us, correct us, train us in righteousness, that we may be perfect in our good works. Well, how in the world can you do that? You know, every one of us has tried to be good, right? We haven't? How many of you tried to be good at least 1 hour in your life? Okay, that's better. Okay. Kind of getting a little nervous there. Then we go back to what Jesus said. And this is like, Jesus, you got to be kidding. Matthew 5:48, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Now, he prerequisited this teaching, but I'm not changing any of the meaning because that's the last thing he said was, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Jesus, I can't do it. And if somebody would have said that, you know what he would have said? You're right. He can't without the Holy Spirit living in you. Galatians 3:3, Paul always beat around the bush. He said, "Are you all a bunch of idiots?" No, he didn't say that. He said, "Are you so foolish?" Which is just about as bad. "Having begun in the Spirit," in other words, having been born again in the Spirit, "that you are now being made perfect by the flesh." See, they had a problem. They wanted to be born again and then put everybody back to the law so that they would be righteous and holy. Holy. You have to say that with your mouth perpendicular. Okay? Holy. That's religion. And Jesus came to set us free, not bind us with a bunch of rules and regulations. He came to change our heart. And that's what everybody needs, is a change of our hearts. All the world out here, we make all these rules and regulations and laws and everything. And I'm not saying those are bad. I'm just saying that they don't really change anybody other than the fear of getting a ticket or going to jail or something. The truth of the matter is that this whole thing will not be right until everyone's heart's changed. And I believe that you call that place heaven. But in the New Testament, can you be perfect? Can you? Okay, you ready for a little Bible drill? Okay. We don't have any blue ribbons today, but that's okay. Luke 2:40, speaking about Jesus growing up. And the child Jesus grew and became strong. Golly, Smithy family's got all these muscles and stuff. I think we ought to have a competitive test of strength sometime. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? Between Pastor and Daniel. The child Jesus grew up and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Did Jesus need forgiveness at that time? No. The grace of God was on him, though. And I want you to remember that one. We're going to come back to it in just a little bit. John 1:17, it says, "For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Note the word grace again, okay? We're going to take a look at grace. We're going to take a look at what grace means according to the Bible. And of course, the grace of Jesus Christ and the truth of Jesus Christ only comes to those who receive him. It's not this universal deal. It's not just, well, it happened, so everything's cool now. It's we have to receive him in our hearts, and we have to walk with him every day. And that's a good thing, not a bad thing. When I was a little kid in a denominational church, I was told, be good. Be good. Be good. Sit still. Be good. Be good. I couldn't be good. As hard as I tried, I couldn't be good. I got spankings. Some of you younger people may not know what those are, but I guarantee you, they made an impression on my, start to say body, my life. And I remember those encounters with parental love. Hallelujah. To all that receive him, there must be a common thing coming in here with all of us to be filled with wisdom and the grace of God, or by the grace of God. You know, Paul had some issues. Paul in Romans 7 says, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I do them all the time. You know, and people argue about what that was. It doesn't make any difference what it was. He had struggles just like one or two of you in here today have struggles or have things against you or have issues. Paul had a previous life before he was born again. He was a murderer. Those could have been flashbacks. I don't know. He could have had an addiction. He may smoke a pipe or something, cigarettes or drank alcohol. I don't know what it was. What else is bad? No, I don't get into those sexual things. Okay. But he may have had a problem. And we need to laugh at ourselves and some of that. Then we need to get serious about it and get it taken care of. Because Paul gives us the answer in Romans 8 that Jesus is the one who is our deliverer. Well, he couldn't do it. So maybe we can't do it either without certain things happening in our lives. Let's watch something, okay? 2 Corinthians 12:9. Paul's speaking here. But he, talking about the Lord, said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. Paul says, boast in your weaknesses, but boast gladly, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Now, these two verses, they really have a lot of meaning here. He's trying to tell us something about our weaknesses and how to be delivered from them, how to be set free from them. He didn't really tell us that we are going to be perfect here is the way that we think of perfection. We're perfect through the new birth. We're perfect by the Holy Spirit. We're perfect because the blood of Jesus Christ, he who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. But as far as our behavior goes, we need help. We're still in this earth suit, and we need some help with it. The enemy puts things before us. The world puts things. Oh, my gosh. The world, have y'all noticed the world's kind of like different than it was a couple years ago or like yesterday? You know, we need help. And he said that Jesus spoke to him and says, my grace is sufficient for you. That my power is made perfect in weakness. See, this gets back to what John the Baptist said, I must decrease, he must increase. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly. This is a good thing because I know that I'm weak and I'm going to boast of my weaknesses. Why? So that Christ's power, his ability, his endowment to do that which I can't do myself may rest on me. Why did he say that? Because he needed it. Why did he write that? Because we need it. Many people think that grace is God's forgiveness. And that's not really accurate. Mercy is God's forgiveness. Mercy is what wipes the slate clean from the things of the past. But his grace is on us for today and tomorrow. So it's mercy and grace. Mercy giving me, taking all that junk off. And grace empowering me through my weaknesses to be what he said I can be. Now, some people often define grace as God's unmerited favor. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but I want to be distinct here. I want to be more specific. I want to kind of divide it up a little bit more so we can get into a little deeper meaning, if you would, about the word grace. Because I believe it's a lot more than just his favor. Or maybe it would be better to say this is his merited favor working out. But I really believe that grace is different. I had, years ago, I had a problem. I heard people say, God's unmerited favor, his unmerited favor, his unmerited favor, his unmerited. And it kind of just went over my head. It didn't really settle with me. And so I went to the Holy Spirit. How many of you all know he's a lot sharper than I am? Okay. Praise God for it. I go to the Holy Spirit and ask him, what does the word grace mean? I'd already been through the concordances and W.E. Vines and all these different, you know, people that had said this, this, and this. A lot of them said that it's God's unmerited favor and left it at that. That wasn't good enough for me. I needed more than that. I needed a better understanding so I could grab my faith and bring it into me. And the Holy Spirit led me to go through the concordance with every time that the word grace is in the New Testament and take the meaning in that area pertaining to what the situation was. And I'm thinking, okay, and that's a pretty good little project. It'll take you more than an hour, okay, to really get into the, you know, the background of what that particular section of Scripture is and to be able to see how it's applied and what it's saying. And I found out this one thing. You know, it's kind of like when the light went on, that when I saw the word grace, I saw the connection with God's power. I saw the connection with God's ability. I saw the connection with what God would do in me through me. You know, we're saved by grace through faith. So I found out that I need to apply more faith in God's grace. Uh-huh. And I see the changes that started happening with me. My outlook, my perception changed. And these other things gradually took root in me and grew to be, you know, where I didn't have to worry about the little things that I did when I make a mistake. I apologize or I confess the sin and go on. They didn't have a hold on me like they did before that. So let's take a few minutes here today, or a couple hours, whichever you prefer, and see what the word grace means in a few selected scriptures. Romans 12 talks about Paul saying that he speaks, when he's talking this chapter, from grace so to the grace that is in people. And this is about this chapter about motivational gifts. And he's talking about those seven motivational gifts, you know, like prophecy and teaching and giving and serving, all of those things. All of us have all of those gifts operating in us, but we have several that operate a lot higher degree. Like some people are servants, you know. you spill the dishes, they just say, don't worry about it, I got it. Or, you know, Pastor Corey gets up and says, we need $10 million. And this one guy goes, hey, don't worry about it, I got it. Well, I know there's a church in Edmond. Well, actually, it's Oklahoma City. And years ago, they decided to put up a cross outside that would be right there on I-35. And the story goes, the cross was $350,000. Don't let me lose you yet. Come on now. Just a cross. Well, it was well lit. It's a big, big sign when you go through there. And this guy came to the pastor after the meeting. He says, go ahead and take all the funds that you can receive, but I'm going to write you a check for $350. Got it covered. And you can do whatever the overage is with whatever you want. Isn't that cool? And old pastor's going, hallelujah. But those things, they'll happen, okay? We don't live on them, but we sure do receive them. Praise God. Ephesians 3:7. I become a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. The Apostle Paul said he was the greatest servant of all in so many words. You know, he said the apostles are the greatest servants, and then he said he was the least of all the apostles, which puts him in a humble situation, but it puts him in a situation to be able to receive grace so that the power and operation of the Holy Spirit can do the things through him that he would never dream of doing. And that's not just because he was an apostle. That's because he was a Christian, and he was walking by the truth of the Scriptures. And see, a lot of us have strained about doing something. A pastor called me and wants me to take out the trash this weekend. Golly. And it changes you from that to, Pastor Corey, can I just do it forever? Or can I do it the rest of the month? I really want to help you. There's other things I can do. It's amazing. Sometimes we just need a little bit of a kick or a touch. Kick's not a very good word, is it? You know, some of us need it sometimes, right? More than a touch. But that enabled him to be who he wasn't. It was enabling him to be who Christ inside of him was. Now, when I tried to find the definition in this search that I was doing in Scriptures, I came up with the grace of God is the power of God to do that which I can't do. 1 week later, I go to a pastor's conference of about 650, 700 pastors. The guy gets up there and he says, you've got grace wrong. He says, and this, he said this, and I thought, wow, that might even be better than what I got. He said that the grace of God is the power of God to do the will of God with joy. The grace of God is the power of God to do the will of God with joy. See, the work of God is, if it's the will of God, it should be a joyful thing. You know? A joyful thing. And it's not something that's a drudgery. Oh, I got to do this. I got to do my homework. It's a thing like, wow, I get to do this for Jesus. And when we see it that way, then it lifts us to the point where I want to do it. I want to do it. I can't help it. I want to do it. And there's many of you here that would admit there's things that you don't want to do sometimes, but you sure are glad you did them. I start with me. So glad that I had those youth outreaches in Granbury, Texas, with all those snotty-nosed kids, and praise God and gave them the Word of God so that they could be saved back in the late 80s and early 90s. What a joy to think about it and to be able to enjoy it at the time. And I really did. God tricked me into youth ministry. He did. He tricked me into it. I'll tell you that story real quick. I got another 2.5 hours here. I was associate pastor bivocational back in about the time that I met Corey, and I went to my pastor and I said, you know, we really need to get a youth ministry going here in the church. It took a church that had about 20 people, and it was growing well. And he said, well, what do you suggest? And I said, I knew better than to just say that. I knew I had to have a suggestion when I went to him. And I said, well, I've already talked to four different couples. Well, actually, three couples and then two single guys that live together. And each one of them is willing to do a weekend, okay, or a meeting a weekly. So we've got so-and-so, and we've got so-and-so, and the third meeting will be so-and-so, and the fourth meeting will be these two guys. You know them all, know them well, know that they'll do well. And he said, okay. He said, well, we need somebody to direct it or administrate it. I said, okay, I'll do that, no problem. So he said, go for it. And I put it all together, had a meeting, got everybody together. We worshiped, we prayed, and we started off. And somebody said, well, I can't do that week. Let me do another week. And before you know it, I had nobody in a month. I filled in. I made the mistake of filling in for one. And at the end of the month, the two single guys were still okay. The three couples. And so I told my wife, I said, well, honey, I think we're the new youth pastors. Well, we didn't talk about it. I said, well, we talked about what we were doing. This kind of just came up this way. God just kind of put it in our lap. And even though I had two teenage sons, I didn't really want to be a youth pastor. Whoever wants to be a youth pastor, you know, ain't just a jump board and everything. It's the most joyful time I've had, outside of a few other things. But I loved it. I started going with these kids and, you know, started discipling them and talking to them. It's a group of about 15. And it got to be so great. And then we started this youth outreach, the Wrap Room. And we started reaching out to the middle school and high school. And it was a blast. And we actually had a youth ministry going 6 days a week. And God did that. Okay? And that's joyful because we got to see changed lives. It's hilarious. There's nobody more religious than teenagers. Well, they get saved, they'll tell everybody else what they can't do. Am I telling the truth? Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. It's interesting that the throne is called the throne of grace. So that with confidence, talk about walking by faith, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So we go to the throne room of grace, we get our sins forgiven, and we find the power of God to do the will of God with joy. Okay? We find the grace of God, that which I can't do myself, that comes on me, in me, through me, to do what I can do in Him. So, I need grace. I want grace. I understand grace better now. I understand why Paul said he would boast in his infirmities or his weaknesses so that the power of God may rest on him, the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 15:10. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And that's not one of these sayings like, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and that's all I am, and that's all I can be, and that's it. Hey, dude, what's up? You know, the truth of the matter is, I can say, if you see something good in me, you see Jesus. If you see something that's not so good, you see Dan. I used to do some outreaches with the band years ago, and John Cox was the leader, great guy, and they wrote their own songs, and they sang a song called Jesus is the Only Perfect Part of Me. And you know, He is perfect. He lives in me. So I need to be more like Him. But how can I do it? I can't do it by being good. What I do is I yield to Him. I believe and ask for His grace, His power in my life to be like He wants me to be. There's this is a good correlation to have with a guy that has done a bunch of classes and know him in his teachings. And he said when he and his wife were young, and he's older than I am. Gosh, must be over 40 or 50. He said that when he and his wife were young, they had this older lady that discipled them. And she, after about the second week, I think it was, she said something to him. She said, "How would you like to pray a prayer every day that God will always answer?" He goes, yeah, I want that one. She said, "Good, here's what you pray. Father, what is there in me that you'd like to change today?" That small, still voice will give you an answer. And you'll get there by grace. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet, not I, but the grace of God that was with me. And I think about so many people in the ministry today. Some people I see working really, really hard. And of course, they're doing it by works. But then some of them work really, really hard. Think about Brother Sumrall and the things that he did in his lifetime, going around the world at 23 years of age without a dollar in his pocket by faith. That wasn't him. That was grace of God working in him. That was God giving him an ability that was supernatural. Romans 5, there's some verses, I don't even try to look these up, but you might write down the verses so you can check them with, that's your homework assignment for the week, okay? Romans 5, 20, 21 says that grace is increased and that grace can reign through righteousness. It's kind of like the verse that says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not." See, God's purifying the church. Jesus is not going to come back for a wretched body. He's going to come back for a spot-free and glorious bride that He's ready to take out of here. But we got some people to save first. And we got some things to straighten up in our own lives too. And this is how it's going to happen, turning those things over to Him. Not by trying to, I'm going to be better. I'm going to be better. I'm going to be better. That's so frustrating. I worked with some guys for the last several years in addictions. And I tell you what, you can't, guys, settle down. You can't strain hard enough to get that done. You've got to yield. Chill, dude. This is what you do. You need to flush out all those impurities with the Word of God. And you need to do it every day. And when you take the Word of God and mix it with faith, guess what? God's grace is going to empower you to take you beyond yourself into the walk of the supernatural realm, into the power of God, into the thing of being a witness to others, into the ability to be able to speak to somebody that you may not even know or anything else and give them a word to be able to strengthen them or to tell them about Jesus. Invite them to church. Lean over the neighbor's fence and tell them, "Come on in here. We've got some good news for you." Praise God. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "God's grace in us serves others in its various forms." That's actually a reference to Romans 12, the motivational gifts. God's grace in us serves others in its various forms. Colossians 4:6 says, "Grace empowers our conversation, giving answers to others." Am I okay on time? Still got 2 hours? Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. I like it. I purposely left my phone with the time on it, and he said there's a deal up there saying, as long as I stay in AM, I'm okay, right, or something like that. I was wondering about your countdown clock. It was AM or PM, so. Acts 14:3 says, "Grace enabled Paul and Barnabas to perform signs and wonders." I think what would happen there is they got the guts to do it, and then the manifestations of the Spirit came on them. Have you ever talked to anybody you didn't know and told them about Jesus? That's God's grace in you. I was, Teresa and I were in Springfield, Missouri, a couple of years ago, 3 years ago. I'm sitting there and I see a single guy sitting down by himself in a restaurant. We're having lunch, and the Lord gave me a word for him. Well, you see, it wasn't that I'm trusting God or not as far as you know, what was said to me to deliver. It's whether I feel like I heard from God or not. Is this the word of the Lord, or is this just something? Grace in me gave me the ability to know that I'm hearing from God, because the word of knowledge was an action for this guy that I didn't even know. And I told Teresa, I said, I'm going to need to talk to that guy in a minute. And a few minutes later, I saw him getting up. He was ready to leave. And I said, I got to go. And I walked over to his table and I said, sir, you don't know me or anything else, but I do believe that the Lord's put something in my heart to tell you. And he said, yeah, well, go ahead. And I said, it's going to be okay. That which has happened is going to be okay. And you don't need to worry about it. Don't trust yourself. Trust the Lord, and he will take care of you. The guy goes, he was a pastor. His chief deacon for years and years had just passed the week before. And he said, I know that's God, because I really was trying to figure out how this is going to work without him. See, it set him free from the worries and cares of the world. And all I did, I was just a donkey, went over there and gave him the word of the Lord. That's it. Praise the Lord. Have a great day. Turn around and finish my meal. But that wasn't Dan. I'm not so smart. I'm good looking, but I'm not so smart or anything else. But Jesus wanted a job done, and he had the donkey right there across from where the person needed to have that encouraging word. Praise God. God gets all the glory, but we get all the fun. Hallelujah. And then we read in Romans 5:2 that his grace by faith enables us to stand. I think this could be the most important thing, this whole message. I look at the things that have happened during COVID. I look at the people that bless their hearts. I don't put people down anymore like that, because the grace of God says that's not the way you do it. I get compassion for people, just like Jesus did when he saw there's a need. You're supposed to be moved with compassion to pray and help and do whatever you can to help. And I saw so many people, they went crazy almost with this COVID deal. And maybe you felt that way for part of it. But see, when you have the grace of God in your life, you don't have to. You don't have to fret. You don't have to worry. You don't have to go and, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? No, it's, Lord, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, Lord? I'm having trouble on this thing, and I got to hear from you, or I need help, or I need this, or I need that. And Jesus will answer you and take care of you in the midst. And you say, well, how long do I have to wait when I pray like that? Well, if you're prepared to stand forever, you won't have to. I heard Brother Hagin say that years ago, and I love it. The thing of it is, you know that as bad as it can be, and here there was the church I was with before, there was a horrible thing going, and it was basically took it out of existence, and God told me to start a new church. I go, that's easy for you to say. And I prayed about it, and guess what? The joy of the Lord overtook me. You know? That at 73 years of age, I would start a new church. Gosh, did I tell the truth? 73. That was last year, too. I get to take one off, you know, Anyway, to start a church. And, you know, we've started this church with no pressure. Oh, and I've started businesses and churches and ministries and different things before. There's always I started this with no pressure. And God has just put things before us. And I thought, golly, this is wonderful. This is awesome. This is fantastic. I need to bring somebody aboard and start preparing them in the future. I thought, heck, I want to be here until I'm at least 80, probably 85 preaching. And then after that, I will still want to be here. You know, if God takes me, well, I ain't going to worry about it. You know, because he will, because I ain't going out on my own and the devil can't have me. Okay? Praise God. It goes for you too. Only believe. Praise God. You can stand. Grace by faith. You can stand. The tornadoes, the hurricanes, the COVIDs, all the political junk, all of that stuff, you can stand in the middle of it. You know, I can't prophesy to you what's going to happen in this country the next 6 months or 6 years or whatever. I don't know. I don't know that it's going to be really good. I don't know. You know, some people are saying, well, this is the end of America. Well, I know one thing, that Jesus Christ will stand, and the sound formation of what we stand with Him on, it will stand, and it will stand, and it will stand, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's in me, I'm in Him. We're wrapped up, tied up, dangled up together. Praise God. So, by grace, I stand. Amen. Through faith. I'm connected to the Most High God. And then James 4:6 and 1 Peter 5:5, it teaches us that God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. That's so important. God resists, opposes, stands against, actually in the Greek, stands against the proud. What's the proud? People who bring recognition to themselves and talk about themselves more than they do the Lord or anybody else. In other words, you can be the hot shot. Hey, look what I did. Uh-oh. Cost Satan a seat in heaven when he was Lucifer. And then some people say, oh, I couldn't do that. I'm just not, you know, God wouldn't, He wouldn't do that. No, yeah, He would too, if you get your attitude right. Because God will, if it's according to the Word of God and His plan for you and by faith. And if He doesn't, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But you can stand in knowing that, hey, I'm in the rock of my salvation. And I give the word of God to you today, not my word, His word. You're in the rock of His salvation. And all the storms of life can throw at you, and all the things can come, and all the attempts of the enemy and the evil one will come at you. Just stand by grace, praise God. Stand on the promises of God. Hallelujah. He will never fail me. He has never failed me. We sang that song. I love it. I love it. Praise God. And then this has a meaning here that God empowers those that are humble. He gives grace. And it's not just like, here's grace. It's like, here's grace. Here's grace. Here's grace. And when God gives, He just doesn't give it. He multiplies what He's done before. Come on, somebody. Yeah, grace will be multiplied in you. Peter preached that too. He said, may grace be multiplied in you. When we started out the epistle. It's all about Jesus and what He has brought for us to do. And then we've got a world out there that needs to hear the same story. This is not for us just to contain within ourselves. This is for us to get out and be who God made us to be, and be the salt, and be the light, and be available, and get out of our comfort zone, so to speak, and let God's grace show us what to do, what to say, how to do it, how to go about it, and you'll have the joy of the Lord for sure. Grace is a key to ministry. In fact, grace is essential to ministry. Well, Brother Dan, I ain't no preacher, I ain't no pastor, and I'm not even a deacon or a chair sweeper or whatever you call them guys on the floor there. I don't do that. No, the Word of God says you're a minister of reconciliation. The Word of God says you're an ambassador for Christ Jesus. The Word of God says that you have the things in you, the ingredients in you, to be His representative here on earth. See, you don't live here. You're just vacationing here, right? Praise God. We need to realize that. The Word says that you are those things. And what is your response? What is your response to that? I want you to bow your heads if you would. I want you to ask the Lord in your own way to search your heart. Ask Him something like, Lord, how do I respond to this message? How do I take this message and apply it? God, I am so sorry. And this starts out this way. Repent. of the things that you've been so uptight about, or the things you've passed over, or the things that you haven't counted as a call from God. And repent just says, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. If we confess our sins, He's faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Sometimes we go past someone that the Lord's nudging us to talk to. Sometimes we don't respond to an opportunity. Sometimes we're not looking for opportunities. We're not praying for opportunities to take this good stuff that God has given us and to have it multiplied in the lives and hearts of other people. I'm so glad that somebody told me about Jesus for whatever it was, the 85th time or whatever. One plants, one waters, but God gives an increase. Apply it in your home. Apply it in your own life. Apply it when you're married, if you're married. Apply it in your children's or grandchildren or great-grandchildren, at your neighbors, where you work, where you go to school, whatever. Make the application of grace in your life to be more like Jesus. It's not works. It's not a struggle. It's not straining and groaning. It's just giving up. He says, if you lose your life, find it. The thing about it is, we have so many distractions in this world, and we let them too often rule us rather than ruling them. So, in your own words, just say to Holy Spirit, I'm sorry, I see that. Thank you for showing me whatever it is He showed you today. Ask Him how to apply it. Ask Him how to make it real in your heart. Ask Him to stir you and multiply it. There are evangelists in the making here. There are teachers in the making. There are servants in the making. All right here today in this room and online. And that's good news. That's something that you may be a little timid about. Well, just God will give you boldness. He did in the Bible to those that asked. Maybe you've got a healing ministry. You just need to be praying for people or laying hands on people. Maybe you have a giving ministry. And maybe there's some witty ideas that God will give you to bring some additional income into the church. All these things are godly. They're too good to pass up. Jesus has given every one of us the opportunity to be that minister of reconciliation, that ambassador for Him. That doesn't mean you have to do everything. It means you just do what God's put on your heart. Be free. But be pointed and be intentional. Be intentional. Be intentional. How many of you would say today, just by a show of your hands, real quick up and down, I already asked God to forgive me, and I see some things that He's going to help me in. And you just keep on raising your hand. Maybe you haven't heard it yet. You can see those hands, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Thank you for those. Thank you for those. Who else today has got a new fresh conception? Maybe it's something that God spoke to you a few days ago or a few years ago. He's stirring in your heart to go back to it. Praise God. Anyone else today? Thank you. Thank you. I also want to ask you this. If you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and I'm talking about the boss of your life, if you've never given your heart to Him, the Bible says what you need to do is believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess Him as your Lord, your boss. It's called the born-again experience. It's called salvation. Maybe you haven't done that before. Maybe you're not sure about your salvation. You're not for sure if you woke up yesterday after a death of a tragic car accident or something, that you wouldn't know where you woke up, heaven or hell. Maybe you're just need to be refreshed in your relationship with God. There's some things been holding you back and some things trying to gather and put their fangs in you, so to speak, and hold you back. If that's you, for either one of those, either to become a Christian today or to refresh your fellowship with Him, would you just raise your hand today, please? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? This is an important decision. The most important decision that you can ever make. The difference between life and death. Jesus said he has come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Don't let the enemy drive a wedge in your relationship with him. Just get it out right now. You love God, you're saved, you're going to heaven, you know that, but you know there's some changes that need to be made, and adjustments. He is the adjuster. He's the heavenly chiropractor. Praise God. Anyone else today? Anything at all? Just pop up your hand. I want to pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for this day, this opportunity to come together to be able to rejoice in you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for quickening your word to each and every person. And I ask you to multiply it in the days to come, that you would take the seed sown today and bring forth 30 and 60 and 100-fold return from it. God, I thank you for moistening the hearts of every person here today to see the bigger picture and to be intentional about the kingdom. And every one of you that believe the following words, I would ask you to say this out loud as a confession. Just follow the same words that I do. If you believe it in your heart, please follow these words. Dear God in heaven, I ask you to forgive me of my past, all the things I've done wrong, all the things your word calls sin. I ask you to come in my life today and be my Lord, my boss, my Savior, my deliverer, my healer. I praise you and thank you for the free gift of life eternal, and I receive it in the name of Jesus, giving you all the glory. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.